Okay, this is a continuation of part two for this series entitled Caring for the Flock. That's what God has called us to as workers, as bondservants. And part two is really Paul's love for people. We're looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 12. Make sure, by the way, that you listen to part A before you get to part B. Okay, so let's jump back to verse 8. It says, having so fond an affection of you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you become very dear to us. So in part A, we looked at this whole thing about impartation, that it's the transferring of spiritual truth and spiritual power from us as workers who are ministering to people to others. And but notice it says impartation not only of the gospel, but also our own lives. And I really believe it's the impartation of our lives that make it possible for there to be an impartation of the gospel, which is spiritual truth and spiritual power. The two go hand in hand. In other words, it's not just trying to, as we said last time, trying to teach the gospel, to teach spiritual truths. There needs to be impartation. And along with that impartation of the gospel, there's an impartation we give our lives to others. So if you take a look at the phrases that are used here in this passage, you'll see that they're loaded with passion and care and love for the flock. Now, for the sake of context, let me mention two things. It wasn't just Paul that was writing this letter. In fact, you'll notice in this passage, he's referring to we, us. Who's we and us? Well, if you go to chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy. All three of them wrote this letter together because all three of them had been in the city of Thessalonica. And by the way, it's not like he had spent a long time. Bible scholars say it was somewhere between 3 weeks and about 3 months. That's all he spent there. And a lot of that was evangelizing. People came to know the Lord. And then he would spend time just giving follow-up, early discipleship. And they left that city and a handful of believers there. Again, probably no longer than 3 months, maybe as short as 3 weeks. And I won't go into how we kind of know that, but just trust me on that, okay? And but we see that the hearts of Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, they were just bursting forth with the love, with Christ's love for these new believers. And may we develop that type of love for the people that we work with and the people that God's called us to shepherd or work with. Okay, let's look at verse 7. It says, but we prove to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Notice that two words there, gentle and tender, tenderness. You know, that is what these three men felt for these new believers. And in fact, he goes on and says, you know, just as a nursing mother cares for her own children. There's a strong bond between a nursing mom and her own children, right? That's the type of bond that God wants to put in us for the people that we're serving. Now, again, we can't work that up. It has to be only as we love him and allow his love to flow through us that this can happen. But that's the goal. And Paul's a great example, and Silvanus and Timothy as well. Verse 8, it says, having so fond an affection for you. And then it says, we are well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you become very dear to us, having such a fond affection for you, becoming so very dear to us. This wasn't something faked. It was a genuine affection for the saints of this new church. And by the way, as new believers, did they have problems? Yes. In fact, you can look at 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians and Paul and Silvanus and Timothy. They're addressing very basic issues, character issues. So it's not like they were like a perfect people, you know, immediately. But still, they had a love. And it was out of their love for people that they were able to impart spiritual truth and give correction and direction for this new church and these new believers. Verse 9, for you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and set day, so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. So here they are, they're working night and day where they're not a burden to them. And by the way, often, especially with new church plants or when Paul and others would kind of go into a new city, it's not like you could start passing around an offering plate right away. Of course not. You know, they weren't even believers yet. And so Paul and others, they worked, they supported themselves to get something started. And because their heart was, we don't want to be a burden to these people, you know. In other words, there's no mixed messages here. Verse 10, it says, you are witnesses and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave toward you believers. I like that. Devoutly, uprightly, and blamelessly. They were examples of godliness, of living holy lives, of loving people. And they, that message, their life message of who they were, that spoke to these new believers in an amazing way because they imparted their lives and their lives were full of Christ. And that's why, you know, I used to wonder, you know, how could Paul and some of the others, they go into a place and 3 weeks later or 3 months later, they leave and there's a church there growing. It's because they were imparting their lives to people. And there's power in that. Verse 11, it says, just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children. Again, three more words, exhorting, encouraging, imploring. And then it says, each one of you. In other words, they took time to kind of probably get together to encourage each one, not just, okay, here's a word for all of you. This is because they were imparting their lives. And again, just like a little earlier, we said, gentle and tender, like a nursing mother cares for her own children. Here it says, as a father would his own children. And I think that's sort of the stand for us. We need to see people that we're serving as if they were our own children, because there's a bond there if they're our own flesh and blood, right? Well, you know, we have children out of our flesh and blood, and that's good. We love them. But there's also something called spiritual children or spiritual descendants. And Paul, he talks about this a lot. He refers to, you know, my children or Timothy, my son. He saw there is a parental, there's a spiritual fathering, a spiritual mothering going on. And that comes out of genuine agape love for people. And there's a bond there between a father and his children, a mother and his children. And that's the type of love, that's the type of imparting our own lives that God wants us to have for people. And by the way, you know, these, I've just kind of gone through verse 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and just looked at some of the phrases, and I think we can see that there is that love. And that's how impartation of spiritual truth and spiritual power takes place. Actually, if you think about it, parents probably can impart things to their children, either good or bad, in a way that nobody else can, right? Because they're spending time with them. There's a spiritual bond. And so if we are imparting integrity to our children, or a love of books, or it could be love of travel or culture or love for the word or love for God, or it could be negative things too. You know, impartation happens most easily between parents and children. And we need to see ourselves as spiritual parents, not in a possessive type of way, you know, not at all. In fact, there may be a number of spiritual parents for younger Christians, and that's good. That's the way it's supposed to be. Here, you know, it's Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, you know, and they saw themselves collectively as spiritual parents. And the goal, verse 12, it says, so that, you know, this is the reason they imparted the gospel and their own lives, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. That's what we want to see happen. By the way, there's other passages as well that say the same thing. We could talk a lot about it, but Philippians 2, let me just read the first 5 verses there. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Holy Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. There is the motives again. But with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. You know, parents don't look, at least godly parents, they don't look after just themselves. They would put their children first, wouldn't they? Or at least that's the way it's supposed to be. And the same thing when we have a love for God's people, when we begin to shepherd God's people. And verse 5, I like it, is that it says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's the way he did it. As the shepherd, the good shepherd, that's what he wants from us. In conclusion, Paul was consumed with a love for Christ. And out of that love for Christ, Christ's love fills Paul and Timothy and Silvanus. And that love flows out and begins to touch other people. And when it begins to touch other people, and when that love comes out, there's an impartation that takes place. An impartation of the gospel, an impartation of their own lives, and something supernaturally happens. The Holy Spirit quickens spiritual truth and spiritual power to people. And that's what God wants for us. By the way, you know, this passage in 1 Thessalonians 2 is a good checklist for us. You know, do we see people in this way? Do we have a fond affection for them? Are we imparting to them the gospel? Are we exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of them just as a father would his own children? Are we tenderly caring for people as a nursing mother would for her children? A great checklist here. And I know what you're probably thinking, wow, I'm not even anywhere close. Well, I get that. I'm not either. But I do know that this is what we should be moving toward. And it happens as we allow his love to fill us. And as I love him more, his love begins to fill me, and these things can begin to happen. And that's really, brothers and sisters, what we want to see happen in our lives. Let's look at, by the way, this is a great passage to meditate on, to memorize. You know, I memorized it when I was in my probably mid-20s. It's been a passage that it's the standard, you know, in my eyes of what God wants me to be. And again, it's not like I I'm there. I'm still growing in that, but I know what I'm supposed to be. Okay, let's close by looking at the end of the chapter, 1 Thessalonians 2 again. And because I think this, again, shows something of Paul's heart and Silvanus and Timothy too. It says, "For who is our hope or joy or crown of exaltation? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? For you are our glory and joy." I mean, think about this. When Paul looks at the second coming of Jesus, and when he's actually in the presence of God, he says, the people that he loves, the people who are, that he's been imparting his life to, he says, "You're our hope. You are our joy. You are our glory. You are even our crown of exaltation." To me, that's beautiful. And I think it just shows how important this imparting our lives to others. Because when we impart our lives, we're really imparting the love of Christ to people. And that is so powerful. Let's pray. Lord, we just ask that you give us revelation of these things. Lord, we don't want just a head knowledge. We want something that really goes deep inside of us. Lord, give us a renewed love for you. And let your love that is poured inside of us, Lord, let it flow out and touch other people. We ask, Lord, that we would tap into what it means to impart the gospel, spiritual truth, spiritual power to others. And especially, how do we impart our lives to others? Lord, this is our calling, and we want to obey in that. Thank you, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.